The Great Plains are dotted with abandoned towns, and each one has its own story of settlers moving in and then eventually moving on. Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon visited one such town, and it sheds light on a forgotten piece of American history.
Picture this. You're on dry, dusty plains. The grass is crispy and straw-colored, and you can just barely see the snow-capped Rocky Mountains to the west. That's the scene an hour's drive northeast of Denver.
So this is what's left of the great community of Deerfield, Colorado.
I'm here with George June. He's a professor at the University of Northern Colorado and the resident expert on Deerfield. We're next to the town's old lunch counter. Today it sits next to a highway, partially collapsed, its wooden beams warped and cracked from the wind.
And as you can see, there's not that many structures left.
It's been 100 years since Deerfield's streets were bustling with homesteaders, but it's not the town that's interesting. Instead, June says, what makes Deerfield special is the people that lived here.
It was the most successful, best-known African-American farming community in the United States at the time.
Starting in 1910, Deerfield began attracting hundreds of black homesteaders. They came to the town for opportunity, and for a while, it thrived.
It pulled together primarily African Americans who were interested in owning their own homes, their own farms, and that's what pulled them to Deerfield.
The community was the vision of its creator, a man named O.T. Jackson. He was a successful black entrepreneur from Ohio. He started restaurants and worked for a few Colorado governors. Jackson wanted a place where black people could take out loans, work the land, and get ahead. And he saw promise in Deerfield.
So he thought that if given the chance and the opportunities, other African Americans could achieve as well. And so there, this part of it, he wanted people to come out here and to make something of themselves.
June says what's amazing about the town is that it gained a foothold during an incredibly tense time in America. Deerfield, along with other predominantly black towns like Nicodemus, Kansas, and Boley, Oklahoma, sprang up at the height of the Jim Crow era, when segregation was the law of the land. An active Ku Klux Klan chapter started in Denver around the same time. But despite rampant racism and violence in parts of the country, June says the residents of Deerfield mostly found harmony with their neighbors.
People had to work together. You had to work together, even if you didn't like the person. So I think this whole thing about the solitary Westerner and everything like that is a bit overdone because you had to rely on your neighbors.
You could see that on display at the town's dance hall. Deerfield was home to Squire Brockman, a well-known black musician, and he'd set up shop on Saturday nights to play music like this.
And the white people in the area would come out here, and they would dance. Now, at that time, it was black people and white people couldn't dance as couples at all, but they were on the same dance floor together. And so, again, you start to have the roots of some of the integration kinds of things because people respected each other, and they needed each other.
For about 20 years, the town was a success, until the 1-2 punch of the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. In the early 1930s, it stopped raining. Deerfield's seasonal creeks dried up, so did its wells. And by 1940, Deerfield was largely deserted. Many people moved to Denver's Five Points neighborhood. Just a few residents hung on.
It was a wonderful idea, wonderful experiment, but the spinoffs were just as important.
Spinoffs, like one of Colorado's first integrated schools just down the road from Deerfield, and the dozens of other black farm communities on the plains that saw Deerfield's success and tried to replicate it. That's Deerfield's legacy, June says. It thrived for years during a period in American history that was fraught with racial tension, building a community at a time when that seemed impossible. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.